that Shaitan, do not worship the Shaitan, he is your open enemy. We talked about the origin of Shaitan, that he comes from the community of the jinn, and that we also discussed about the nature of Shaitan, whether it was evil or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create Shaitan as an evil. That was the choice that he made to become evil after worshipping Allah for 6,000 years. It's interestingly, you know, 6,000 years he was Mawahid. Even on that day when he disobeyed, he was Mawahid. He was the best example of the Salafis and the Wahhabis, that I'll not bow down to anyone but Allah. But those 6,000 years, you know, worship became null and void because he refused to show respect to the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you hear about this issue of imamat being so important, right in the beginning, this has been proven. And then yesterday we talked about the first encounter between Shaitan and human being in form of, you know, our father Adam and Hawa. And as I said, this was a kind of a controlled experiment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to have it in the away from this world, where the Sharia and halal or haram doesn't apply, just so that we have a preview of the challenges that we will have in this dunya in form of Shaitan and his army. And so let us, you know, look at this issue before we go to more specifics, that what are the things that Shaitan, you know, exploits as far as influencing human beings are concerned. I realize that we don't really have much time till the end of the month of Ramadan. We might continue this during Thursday programs. But for tonight, let's look at the end of the encounter, the challenge of Shaitan and the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, Shaitan, and this is not exactly after that, when he was banished, you know, he said, but you know, I worship you 6,000 years. I should get something in return. And so I would like you to keep me alive until the day when the children of Adam will be raised back to life. Till Qiyamah. So he believed in Allah. He had absolute yaqeen on Qiyamah. You know, the only problem was he had a problem with the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, the basic issues of the, you know, iman were there. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded saying, okay, go. You know, this is where he says, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْزَرِينَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Allah didn't say, till the day of Qiyamah. He says, till the day whose time is known. And according to our hadith, it refers to the days of the appearance of the Imam of the time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif. There are about four ayat of, you know, moderate to length, lengthwise, where Shaitan basically gives his challenge that he and his agents are going to do whatever is in within their power to misguide the human beings. One of the most important thing, if we can summarize his strategy, is this statement where he says, لَأُذَيَّنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْعَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that I will surely glamorize the evil in the world for them, and I will certainly misguide them all. So the strategy of Shaitan is actually to convince us to look at evil and sins as something positive, that there are no issues there. And this is where we see that, you know, to make us desensitize us towards what is haram and halal, what is right and what is wrong, what is good and evil, and basically to present the evil also as normal. And mashallah, the army of Shaitan has increased during our time. You know, the way things have been going on in the last 10 years, you know, I don't want to go say much, but you know that. You know, where things are becoming, you know, normal. When these modern societies that doesn't have a way of resolving problems that they have on a social level, it's very easy to say, okay, just legalize it and, you know, so then it's declassified from the list of problems. It becomes normal. You know, and this is where we see that religious, stands on this issue is that you don't just go and change things. You have to confront it and deal with it and find ways of, you know, resolving the problems. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, because he said quite a lot, you know, sometimes he was very big mouth. At one point he said, oh Allah, I'm going to, you know, misguide all of them. But I think he realized that I'm really saying more than what I should be saying. And so he ends by putting a qualifying clause, illa ibaduka al-mukhlasun. He says, I'm going to misguide everyone except those who are purified by you. He knows he has no power over them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically dismissed his claim. And he then assures the believers that you will be protected. And this is a long ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically says, فَقَالَ اذْحَبْ, you know, go away. I think the more better term would be get lost, go away from here. As for those of them who follow you, surely the hell is your recompense. It is a full recompense. I'm not going to be, you know, miserly in punishing you. Go and incite whomsoever of them you can by your voice. Number one, gather your armies on horses and on foot. These are a symbolic way of saying that he has an army against them. Share with them in the wealth and in the use of the children. He will use the mal as well as banun and awlad, you know, to influence. And promise them. Give them promises which, you know, you cannot keep. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in between interjects that there is nothing that shaitan promises you except delusion. And then at the end, Allah says, O shaitan, as for my servants, inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. As far as my servants are concerned who believe in me, you have no power over them. Wa kafa bi rabbika wakila, and your Lord is sufficient for them as a protector. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, yes, he is there, but I am also there. And, you know, his power is not greater than my power at all. There is no comparison to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala vis-a-vis what influence the shaitan has. Adam is witness to all these conversations going on between shaitan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's our father. So he got worried and concerned. You know, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen to my descendants, my children? You know, if he has this intentions and this plan and he is determined to misguide them at every point, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Adam two things. We know very well about it, but this is a promise that Allah made to Adam. Number one, he says that remember, whatever good deed that your children will do, I will multiply the reward of that one good deed into 10 times. The ayah that we have from Surah number 6, ayah 160, Man ja'a bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha. Whoever comes with a good deed, we will reward him 10 times. And on the opposite side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically is saying, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ, and whoever comes with an evil deed, فَلَا يُجْزَ إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا, he will be only rewarded, punished one according to one. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ, and there will be no unfairness in dealing with them. And the second thing is the door of forgiveness will be always open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go away from us. It is we who move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned this many times, the word tawbah, normally we know that's repentance, to repent for our sins and wrongdoings. Literally, the word tawbah means to return. What it means is that by committing sins, we have created a distance spiritually between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do tawbah, you know, and when our sins are forgiven, that spiritual gulf or distance between us and Allah is eliminated. We are returning to Him. He never moves away from us. His doors are never closed. It is we who run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says in one of the ayat, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ O Muhammad, say to my servants who are unjust to themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا Allah is willing to forgive all the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ He is the most forgiving and the merciful. What is the extent of shaitan's control on us? He really doesn't have direct access to human beings in the sense that he cannot really, you know, physically come and force us to do things. This is not within his power or the power of the agents that he has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us what is known as the hujjati batini. It is the inner, means of guidance in form of the pure soul and the conscious. Surah Shams, this is where after saying, by the sun and the moon, the heavens and the earth, and the day and the night, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the soul of the human being, فَلَهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا He has inspired to the soul of human being the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا Successful is the person who keeps that soul purified, and failure is a person who lets it become corrupted. And so this means of guidance is given to us, number one. However, he also has given us emotions and desires, his power of anger and ghadab, as we call it. As long as we keep our desires and anger in the control, under the control of the pure soul and conscience, we are fine. Shaitan will not be able to do anything. Shaitan will only gain access to us and we'll be able to influence human beings when our desires and our passion and anger goes out of control of our, pure soul, the power of taqwa and the voice of conscience. And that is the challenge that we have. As long as we basically keep our guards up, do not let our guards down, we are fine. So we actually allow access to the shaitan by giving in to our own desires. That's where the shaitan then comes, manipulates that more, incites us more, and this is where, he is able to control us. There are very specific ways he does that. Inshallah, we'll go through the list from tomorrow night. And then, in addition to this inner source of guidance, known as the conscious or the pure soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, has sent anbiya and mursaleen and a'imma and the scriptures and the holy books. And that is actually, and the anbiya have come there to actually realign the compass of our, pure soul. So they actually are coming to remind us. This is the guidance given to you. This is what you should be following. And so that we can, be true to our pure nature that Allah has created. The methods used by the shaitan can never be physical. It is always psychological because he doesn't have physical, power on us to force us to do something. The decision is ultimately ours. He will only tempt us to do things, and we have the ability to resist those temptations, provided we keep ourselves, righteous and strong spiritually. Let me end here with the statement where Allah says, what will happen on the day of Qiyamah? All those who give in to shaitan, this is a conversation, that once the judgment will be done, and those who go to Jahannam because of shaitan, they will turn to him and they say, what happened? You gave us all these promises. And this is where shaitan will talk to them. Where he says, surely Allah promised you the promise of truth. And I gave you promises, then failed to keep them to you. And I have no authority over you. He says very clearly, وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ I didn't have any power or authority on you, illa an da'utukum. I only called you towards me. You are the one who responded to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So do not blame me. Blame yourselves. You know, it's just like, you know, in dunya, he will be your buddy on the day of Qiyamah. When you say, what happened? He said, do I know you? No, I don't know you. What has you to do with me? It's your problems. You know, I'm not responsible for what happened to you. And he will say, I cannot be your helper, nor can you be my, you know, helper. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, his promises are just, you know, delusion and nothing else. How do we deal with this waswasa and whispering of the shaitan? Let me very quickly, we are running out of time here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us a Quranic remedy against shaitan. And the last ayat of the Quran, surah number 144. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly, say, I seek refuge in the Lord and the nourisher of the people. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, the king and master of people. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the God of people. From what? We seek refuge and protection with Allah from the evil of the whispering, slinking. This is the description of shaitan and his agents. They come in a very stealthful manner, without even realizing they will approach you, who whispers into the hearts and minds of the people, and they come from all kinds, from the jinn as well as in human forms. The last two surahs that we have, you know, let me talk, share with you a slide I have from 2007. These two surahs, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, are known as ma'uzatain. Ma'uzatain means two ta'weez. You know the meaning of ta'weez, doesn't it? Ta'weez means the means of seeking protection. When you say a'udhu, the word a'udhu and ta'weez are all from same root. I seek protection. So ta'weez means seeking protection. Sometimes you have it in a written form, you carry it with you, or keep yours with yourself. Sometimes you recite it. Even when you say "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan," that is ta'weez. These two surahs are actually ta'weez, and the first one, Surah Falaq, it talks about, you know, "Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq min ghasiqin idha waqab wa min sharri an-nafasati fil 'uqad wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad." The surah that I mentioned, the last one, it says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. See the difference there? In red. What is the difference? The first one, Surah Falaq, is for protection from what will be inflections on the body, where we seek protection from four things. The evil of some of the creation of Allah, means when they become evil. From the evil which will come as a result of the darkness of the night. From, in a limited form, you know, the sorcery. And from jealousy of the people. They become, you know, then it reaches to a point where they started doing things against you. And so from these four evils, you are seeking protection here in Surah Falaq. Whereas when it comes to Surah An-Nas, you are actually seeking protection from what inflicts the soul of the human being. And the difference there in importance is that in the first one, you address God only once, bi rabbil falaq. And you're asking protection from four things. In the second one, you address God three times. بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, and you are seeking protection only from one. This shows the importance of protection of the soul, waswas of the shaitan. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, don't go here and get there and pay money for, you know, problems sometimes you face. You know, read this surah, these two surahs, they will be powerful ta'weez for our problems. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيم.